Guys,
Take two.
welcome to the first ever Big Footy podcast. With me tonight, I've got the Old Dark Navies from the Carlton Forum and Chief from Big Footy. And in the background, lurking there quietly, will be Messenger and Devoid of Caring. Guys, it's been a big week in footy, as Eddie McGuire used to say, and there's a lot of issues that have come to hand. The footy itself was pretty generic in nature. A lot of people predicted the winners, no major upsets, so it comes down to the issues. So, what do you want to talk about?
Fully support the push in the back decision in Adelaide the other day. I thought that was just and fair.
Of course.
And what about the buddy suspension or lack of?
Just and fair again. I think any time that Hawthorne gets off on something like that, I think that's good for football, frankly.
Well, you know, well, Otten's head didn't pop off, so I guess there's something to be said there.
No harm, no foul.
Yeah. You see something like that, and then you see Jared Waiton getting suspended for a week for rubbing noses, basically.
I thought it was a Maori greeting ritual, actually. I was surprised he got rubbed out for that.
Dolphin kiss.
It's Jared Waite. It's in his contract. He's going to get rubbed out for being an idiot. So,
weeks for stupidity, I guess.
It was.
Yeah, it was
pretty much the softest free that's ever been paid. And if I can just revert to hyperbole straight away, in the history of football, but
the history of the universe, really.
Pretty much the history of the universe. But look, it's a moving feast, and in 3 weeks' time, we'll all be frothing at the mouth about something else. And I think our Crows brethren forget how many goals from free kicks inside 50 they got in that game. They got 4 goals from free kicks. They have nothing to complain about at all.
I mean, besides the guy nearly getting his head ripped off.
Yeah, look, that's just a flesh wound. It was fine. You know, he didn't mean it. He's just misunderstood, buddy.
It was ugly, wasn't it, though? It was ugly. You had to fear for him immediately afterwards.
No question. But I think there was somebody who was trying to put the intentional and the manslaughter charge together on the forums this week, and I thought that was a little bit over.
Oh, you at least got to trial it.
Skip the tribunal, go straight to the Department of Public Prosecutions.
Oh, I think so. Do we have the death penalty? We don't have the death penalty in Australia. It's okay. You know, put it to the test.
Transportation, we can do that.
We can make it.
There's plenty of lawyers out there.
We sentence you to go to New Zealand. I think though that umpiring is a bit of a hot topic lately, with so many interpretations of the push and the and can you push in the back? Can you push in the side? Can you push at all? Can you block? There's a lot of general confusion as to what you can and you can't do. And Jeff Geeshan didn't really help that when he was trying to clarify matters on the couch on Monday night. I think they want to be very careful with this because it is confusing everybody. It's confusing players. It's giving us confused interpretations on the field. And it's costing people games, if you believe people in Adelaide, where things apparently happen right in front of them.
Right in front of me.
It did not cost them that game. That is ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
Go on.
I don't know. I think there's merit there.
that is absolutely... How far from the end of the game was that Thompson free kick? How far from the end of the game?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Another 10 minutes of play.
Yeah. Sliding doors, mate. You know, you never know.
Gwyneth Paltrow could be out there.
It's no different to Collingwood supporters blaming Wayne Harms for the was it the 79 grand final, and the knock-in from the boundary that happened like close to three-quarter time. They're still blaming for it.
And you still can't go near a Hawthorn supporter and mention Darren Goldspink in the 2001 prelim without heads exploding. Yeah, and I mean that in the literal sense, like explode in front of you.
Some umpires have really done themselves no favours in the past. But if they don't get these interpretations right, there's going to be a lot of animosity going on.
Yeah, look, it really should be whatever the show of strength should be allowed, and really don't pay anything unless it affects the game, unless it's actually really having an effect on the contest. None of this, you know, touching the back and, you know, players already on the ground and they fall down onto their back. You're not protecting anybody. That's not going to hurt anybody. It really should be something that could genuinely have caused injury, or it's affecting the flow of the game. So leave it alone.
All right. Let's move it along a little bit. Chief's favourite subject for the week is the Essendon and its drug scandal. It's impossible to have a discussion about the goings-on in football without bringing up what is probably the biggest story in football in recent times.
This is everybody's favourite topic for the week. It's not just mine. You know.
It is a very... if our forums were anything to go by, it is a very popular topic.
Oh, look, I think we're at the point now where it's a question of whether Essendon can slide through a loophole. And it sounds as if they've got enough evidence to say that they've taken things that were not strictly kosher. But, I mean, honestly, if all you can hang your hat on is, oh, we slid through the eye of a needle and escaped sanction, I don't know that that's cold. I think that's cold comfort, really, isn't it?
I think it's... Yeah. If nothing else, it has ensured a generation of ridicule along the lines of Carlton and tanking and Melbourne.
You know what
tanking
it's like.
And,
salary cap cheating.
Yeah. I mean, these things tend to stick around in people's minds for a long time. And if nothing else, they're going to wear this for a long time.
Sure. This is a little bit different to Carlton, though, because there's individuals you can pick out of this, and I think people are going to ask questions about Joe Watson's Brownlow. If he's found to be one of the guys who took this stuff, and that's still in dispute, and he hasn't admitted to anything, but you know that's a face on the issue rather than a club necessarily. Or
well, this is the thing. I mean, you know, Melbourne's tanking got them nowhere really. Anyway, I mean. And you know, and if Essendon were, you know, middle of the table at the moment and all that sort of thing, people would be like, oh, well, it didn't help them anyway, but they're flying high at the moment. but they, you know, so
yeah. Look, when there's salary cap cheating, it's generally you've paid over the odds to keep one player, you know, or two players, but in this particular case, you're looking at the potential of 22 players getting an advantage. That sort of gives you a little bit of a little bit of perspective as to the scale of something like this, if that's what's been happening.
Well, it's even arguable that they got an advantage, to be honest.
Mm. Yeah, but we don't, you know, some of the stuff they're talking about, it's sort of, well, it's, you know, it's unproven and they might have, you know, lost a bit of cellulite or something like that, but... Yeah.
There is a reasonable concern, though, that the stuff that they took last year would be impacting their performance this year. We got some reports when the thread started popping up that it was manifestly unfair to have that thread, but the discussion appears to be a legitimate concern when you consider Essendon a 6-0 and haven't even looked like losing, although that might happen this Friday against Geelong. But I think it's a legitimate concern. I mean, if Essendon took substances last year, it's reasonable to assume that that's had an impact on fitness this year.
I mean, if you can come out of a year, you know, with fewer injuries and ready to go for the next year, you know, that's even if they're saying, oh, well, the drugs don't stay in your system that long, blah blah blah. But if it helped you set you up for your next year,
they did a training base. If they've taken this stuff and what Nick Bedeau said was interesting. He wasn't necessarily saying that they've got an advantage now, but they had a training base and they've been able to build on that training base the following year. So they still get the improvement in terms of their improvement in their training regime. But this 6-0, how good is that 6-0 though? If you look back at the form line, I'm just trying. I mean they. GWS nearly pipped them, beat them last week. I don't know if the wins in Adelaide and Fremantle look as good as they might have looked three or four weeks ago. I mean, Adelaide have only beaten who? A couple of also-ran teams.
Yeah. It's a bit like Port's 5-0.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They'd beaten almost nobody, and Port fans were all, hey, we're going to win the flag.
That's right. But, I mean, having said that, I mean, as for a club that's only won in Adelaide about four times in the last 15 years, I mean, you take it. But the Crows are struggling right now.
Yeah. So, I'm finding it hard to believe that after Swatowski brought his report out, that there's no talk of anyone being fired. There's no talk of anyone standing down. It just appears to be being washed away, like nothing happened.
Yeah. When you pay someone to write a report for you, you get the response that you want, don't you? You get the result that you're after.
It's a very yes but, ministry.
Don't ask a question you don't know the answer to.
Never hold an inquiry if you're guilty. But
I thought what was released was relatively forthright, to be honest. I didn't have any problem with what came out of it. I mean, he called a spade a spade. They had problems. They stuffed up. Nobody knew who was running what, and he said so. I mean, he didn't. It wasn't exactly a glowing recommendation of the procedural practices of Essendon Football Club.
No, and something will come out of that as far as bringing the game into disrepute.
But I mean, so. You know, it essentially amounted to, you know, sloppy running of the club.
Yeah,
there doesn't seem to have been any sort of, you know, intentional that. Just
I hasten to add for our bomber listeners that
we love you.
Yeah. look. As far as the way the club's been run, they've generally been accepting that it's not good, and they're not happy about that. And far as sticking up for the other stuff, it's nothing that Carlton supporters didn't do over salary cap cheating, that Melbourne supporters didn't do over tanking. You stick with your own, and you fight until there's no in it. There's no way you can possibly justify it. So,
but when we did it, we were right.
Well, you know, that goes without saying.
Was Stephen O'Reilly one of the guys you overpaid, by the way?
Sorry?
Stephen O'Reilly, was he one of the guys you overpaid?
Yeah, that was it. That was a good move. Choose somebody that you trust implicitly. Soss and Silvani and Bradley were the other two we offered payments to, and we knew they weren't going to, you know, give it up too easily. But Stephen O'Reilly didn't really have any loyalty to us, so that was a pretty good move.
What do you expect from a guy from Frio?
I do think with Essendon there are a couple of built-in scapegoats in this, and I think Paul Hamilton's looking very, very good for. Having a few things laid at his feet ultimately, and Ian Robson, who I remember fondly when he was at Hawthorn, and then he became traitorous and went to Essendon, and this is his comeuppance. He's going to get it in the neck for being the CEO of Essendon.
Yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me.
I'm being flippant, but I mean, I think that, you know, when they talk about process, he's at the top of that. He's at the top of that tree. And I do think that ultimately he may find himself looking for work next year.
Well, someone's got to take the bullet, and the buck's got to stop somewhere.
Yeah, you just should go a little bit deeper than just looking for that, you know, for a victim.
I don't think there's any way that once this all comes out, I don't think there's any way the AFLPA won't have something to say about the way the players were experimented on, basically, since that's what Essendon has more or less admitted to. There's no way the AFLPA can do its job and sit back silently on this. If they have any credibility whatsoever,
that's what amazes me. You know, people sort of defending this as, you know, we'll get away with it. That's, you know, there's no problems. You know, there's a loophole. Well, the loophole is not a loophole. And then it's sort of what you're thinking about your players. They've, you know, may or may not have pumped them full of God knows what. And there's the main concern seems to be getting out of it without any sanctions or anything. It's strange.
And from a Carlton point of view, guys, I just want to shed the tag of the most unethical club in the AFL. So.
I don't know.
Look, as a Carlton supporter, it's often like we've never forgotten that Essendon were pinged big time for salary cap cheating before we were. So were Melbourne. But this is all glossed over by what we did in 2001, 2002, and rightfully so. We did it big time, and we did the time. But the previous offences that were almost just as big, I mean, Melbourne got fined $800,000. We got done for just over $1 million. And Melbourne lost draft picks. Essendon got done for nearly $700,000. And it was in a premiership year. These are, you know, these are facts that are often forgotten. And now you've got the whole drugs thing. I think Essendon have taken our crown.
We're all living in glass houses, don't we? Aren't we? You know, like some people go too hard out of hatred. If you've got a genuine concern about performance-enhancing drugs in sport, then that's all well and good. But some people are going and just sinking the slipper because of tribalism and whatnot. And
it's entertainment for some people.
Yeah, look, you know.
Some days it's entertainment for me, but, you know.
It's entertaining for all of us sometimes.
Tanking, salary caps, injunctions, you know, things like that. We've all got them.
There's nothing funnier than West Coast
supporters doing it.
Leap that out.
Sorry.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah, see?
What do you mean?
And look, it is sport for some people, but by the same token, there's a degree of denial amongst Essendon supporters, and I guess to an extent I can understand it, but there's those who, you know, amongst the Bombers brethren who are just nothing to see here, move on, and I find that hard to swallow. I really do. I find that you read it and it just seems ridiculous to me, but you know, I guess if it was my club, I don't know how I'd react, and I'm sure there'd be plenty of my brethren who'd perhaps react the same way.
It's not a good look, but it's not something you'd wish on any club, I don't think. I mean, if you could wish it on a club, I mean, you would. I don't think anyone seriously wants to wish this kind of thing on any club in a serious manner.
These players, I mean, we are talking about some of these guys are grown men, but it's hard. If you were one of those players and you were presented with paperwork and you were presented with medical experts and sports scientists, would you have let them stick the needle into you? I mean, yeah, as an 18-year-old, you might have done it.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. These are grown men for the most part, and they should have known better.
If you're there and you're saying this is part of the program, you know, here's the paperwork, you know, as Messenger said, you know, here's the paperwork, here's the, you know, the experts, the doctors are there, you go, here you go. Are you going to be sitting there going, hang on, because you don't know, you know. But by the same token, WADA has always said the player is responsible.
It's your duty to know.
It's your duty to know and that sort of thing. And you can bet everyone will be Googling all these chemical names from now on.
The 17-year-old gymnast at the AIS doesn't get this concession. They work on the same strict liability that the 18-year-old footballer does, but perhaps the institutional pressure for the footballer. I work in healthcare, and I've dealt with professional athletes in the past. Really, these kids, they're straight out of high school, straight on an AFL list. They're little boys. They're not adults in any real sense of the word, other than to say they've reached the age of majority. They're kids. And they go where they're sent. And I think there'd be a number of them who would have said, yes, sir, three bags full, sir, and done it.
That might be a mitigating circumstance, but they're still going to face a six-month minimum ban.
Oh, I agree, and that's the way it should be. But I don't underestimate the amount of peer pressure some of these guys might have come under.
Absolutely,
yeah, it's different to the Spike McVeighs of the world who are adults and can make their own choices. But yeah, young kids straight off the list. I can't say that I might not have done it if I was in their boots. That's all.
All right. Well, I'm gonna call it into this initial podcast, guys. We've been going for 25 minutes or so, so. I'd want to leave it there. It's a good note to finish on.
Cool. You didn't do any highlights.
No, it's probably not necessary. We've covered the big issues.
Yeah.
And
Friday night's game looks good. That's our highlight.
Oh,
Friday night's game looks very good. Essendon and Geelong both up at the top there.
Let's not forget grand final replays on this week, too.
It's gone a bit under the radar, hasn't it?
Well, I must have...
Two has not, been teams, really, haven't they?
last year's news.
I'm still
oh God,
getting treated for post-traumatic stress after 2012's grand final, but yes, I'll go along with something to cow behind in case we start to get mown down in the last quarter like we did last year. But You never wash the stink of those sort of games off me, really. You never do. It's awful. I understand why Geelong supporters are the way they are now after that match.
Did you have to do a sign off, Wood?
Yes. Are you doing? Yes. Thanks, guys. Yes, you got something?
Can I just say to all Essendon supporters, I got a letter from Salada saying you're all crackers. Don't worry.
You've been working on that one for ages.
He's been writing it down. He's got his joke book open or something.
Edit.
All right, guys. Thanks for all your input.
That's right. That was good.
Like to specifically thank ODN and Chief and Messenger, who was going to sit there quietly and say nothing, and then apparently hijacked the discussion for most of the show.
Became the Messenger Hour, didn't it?
We'll change the name of the podcast.
I like to contribute.
He's a giver.
I'm a giver, that's right.
A pitcher, not a catcher.
We'll see you all on the forums, guys. Have a good night.
See you. You too. Good night, gentlemen.